Back together again, you and I chatting it up Monday style, brand new week, April 27th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. I started the show saying, in my opinion, that maybe the third apparent assassination attempt aimed at President Trump could be a signal for Trump opponents and the president, too, to ease back on some rhetoric. University of New Haven criminal justice lecturer and former supervisory Secret Service agent Bobby McDonald dropped by to address security issues following that shooting Saturday night at the White House Correspondents Association dinner in Washington, D.C. So, hey, come on. Is anybody really, really, really in any way surprised about this whole thing? I mean, really, when you heard about what happened Saturday night and what appears to be an assassination attempt against President Trump and other people, maybe in that ballroom at the D.C. Hilton for the White House Correspondents Association dinner, when you heard the first reports of that, did it escape your mind, or did you have any doubt about what this alleged shooter was going after? So two things here as we look at this. And I'll start with what I think is the slightly bigger issue here. I think I can encapsulate this in a question. What did you expect? And listen, I know Donald Trump says stuff that's inflammatory at times. He uses language that people don't like. A lot of, you know, slightly a little more than half of the country doesn't like him. Doesn't like is minor. They despise the guy. That's fine. That's what a good two-party system should do, maybe with a third or fourth candidate in a race. That's always been American politics. Vile and vitriolic things said about politicians go back to the 17 and 1800s. All right? But having said that, if many of you were like me, you said to yourself, as I did, well, what did you expect? What do you expect to happen when the constant drumbeat from the left in this country, particularly from the once great Democratic Party, the party at one time of FDR and JFK and LBJ and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and Harry Truman? What did you think was going to happen? And this isn't the first one. This is the third one that's been quite public here. You had Butler, Pennsylvania. You had the guy hiding in the brush near Mr. Trump's southern home there in Florida. And now you have this. Well, you know, Trump, all right, Trump this, Trump that. Maybe it's the other side that should bear some responsibility for this. And now we hear this on the weekend. Oh, we have to tone down the rhetoric. That'll last for 5 minutes. In fact, that 5 minutes has come and gone. Every day, a constant drumbeat. And I know you're going to say, but Trump. Fine, you can but Trump me all you want. What he says, okay, so if you are so shocked and what you think he says and how he conducts himself is abhorrent, then do the best, be better, be the best to be the opposite of that. Stop calling the guy a fascist. Stop calling the guy Hitler. Stop screaming that our democracy is crumbling. Stop yelling and screaming beyond all logic that we're losing our rights. Point that out to me. Any of this stuff. And look, I'm all for wonderful criticism, thoughtful, true American liberalism that we saw in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and even early 90s. Then about 95, you started to veer way left. But come on, you don't think the constant drumbeat of Trump is coming for you and he has his secret police and he's going to cancel the elections, you don't think it inspires these eight-cylinder crackpots out there? Oh, the guy in California. Oh, he was a teacher, you know. Yeah, that's even more scary, by the way. In his mugshot, take a look at his left eye. That'll tell you anything right there. Just, that was my first impression right there going, whew. There you go. And now I see articles over the weekend. Well, you know, he's described as very intelligent. Yeah. Hey, wink, wink, so was Hitler. How's that sound? I'm not telling you have to love Donald Trump. In fact, I am telling you, you could hate him with every fiber of your being. Stop with the Hitler stuff. Stop that the world is ending. He's almost 80 years old. He's slowing down. He's going to be neutered politically after the midterms. Relax. Get the vaccination, if there is one, for Trump derangement syndrome. Stop it before more whack jobs act and try and fulfill some sick glory out there. Plus, if you add in the maggot that shot and killed Charlie Kirk, you have that. You have Butler PA with Trump. You have the guy waiting in the bushes off of his golf course. And now Saturday night. And don't tell me, in fact, that you read this guy's manifesto. You can tell how he was inspired here. You don't have to be a rocket scientist here. So, yes, as much as Mr. Trump says stuff, and you know I'm honest about him, you know I said I did not want him to run again. But, my God, the over-the-top idiocy, and I mean idiocy. Hey, let's have another No King's March. Maybe that'll inspire another crop of eight-cylinder wackos. Now, if you don't think that the constant drumbeat from members of Congress, from certain members of the media, how this guy is Hitler reincarnate had anything to do with this, I'm sorry. You got to go get a checkup. Go to your PCP, your primary care physician there, and get your oxygen saturation checked. Enough with this. Enough. Now, you can debate him. You can hold news conferences and say, well, you know, this, that, and the other, and this bill is not does not comply with what we want. Fine. That's the legislative process. Stop calling the guy Hitler. Stop saying he is destroying democracy. How is he destroying democracy when all these special elections we've seen, especially in the House, have by and large gone to Democrats? And even the Republicans that hold on in some of these elections, they're winning by half or a third of what Trump won by. It's mind-numbing. And you watch. I'm telling you, you watch. This any sort of semblance of toning down the rhetoric, that'll last for about another 5 minutes or so. But you know the sad part is, and I gotta tell you what I am seeing on my social media feeds from people, some of which I always considered relatively intelligent. Some of the stuff you read over the weekend here, wow. The side that always denounces violence, oh, the right. The Christian right, they're so violent. Really? Really? Have you read some of the stuff from your side on the weekend? Now, I got part two of this coming up. But I'm starting this as a public service message to all of you folks who hate Trump. You want to debate policy, fine. But if you want to keep using words like Hitler, which he's not, fascism, which you don't understand, Mussolini, Pol Pot, Beelzebub, Lucifer, Genghis Khan, just stop, because you look and you sound really freaking stupid. All right, so part one of this whole thing, and now the officials are saying, I guess in the last few minutes, the alleged gunman here is being charged with an attempt to assassinate President Trump. And if proven, this would be the third time. But now you watch. I'm telling you, go to your social media feeds. You are going to see the March of the Cavones, the conga line of idiots on the social media feeds who say this was all staged. Now, Oh, my God. I can't believe I'm having to talk about society about this. I have told you in the past, and I stand by this, I'm generally not a conspiracy guy, but I don't dismiss anything out of hand when you sit back and you say, well, yeah, I guess there have been things, there have been false flags all through history, you know, some we know about, some more famous than others. But my point on this is, all right, if you think this was staged, where's your proof? Like I was talking about the other day with the election being rigged and stolen in 2020, and Lord knows I get blowback on that on social media and email. Oh, you're not on the team. Well, number one, what team is that? And number two, I'm into anything if you just give me sworn testimony. So, in the future, might something startling come out about what happened Saturday night? Fine. But the I tell you, folks, I am frightened. I honestly am. And I'm not frightened about Trump. I'm not frightened about Kamala Harris. I'm not frightened about Gavin Newsom. I'm frightened at the lack of, and maybe I'm seeing this on social media, maybe that's my problem here. But be honest with me now. In the last, it won't even be 48 hours until tonight. So in the last, 36 hours or so, or something like that? I don't know, 36 or how about 43, whatever. Admit it. You've seen on your social media feeds, or you've talked to people, say, there's something that is one degree of separation from you that says, hey, that could have been staged. Well, yeah, I guess it could have been. But really, that's where we're going. So you're saying, and maybe not you, I got to give you more credit than that, but my God, all you need to do is go into a basic search. Saturday night, D.C., White House dinner, staged attack. You'll be frightened with the amount of people that you may have thought in your own lives were relatively intelligent. Yeah, it was staged. Okay, yeah, it was. And exactly how was it staged? And everybody's going to keep their mouths shut about it? Butler, PA, was that staged? The guy hiding in the grass at the golf course in Florida, that was, it's all staged. Why? Because Trump's Hitler. Oh, my God. But see, there are people on the left, and I've read it. I'm not even making this up. You can find a lot of people on the left saying, you know, if the guy, and this is not me saying it, but, you know, there are people out there bemoaning the fact that the gunman never got in the ballroom, and it's the right that's violent? Oh, it's those right-wing Christians. Really? Really? Honestly? So my question of the day, and it's already got quite a few responses, thank you. Explain to me, explain to me, Lucy, explain this to me. Why do so many people apparently think the shooting that happened on Saturday night was staged? Now, maybe it's because the Artemis II flight finally had some moon landing deniers give that up, and the flat earthers gave that up. So are they now migrating toward, hey, the Butler PA, that was, yeah, staged. So some sharpshooter just nicked him in the air from 200 yards away. My God. Oofa, as my mother used to say. Now, and if you think Saturday was staged, call me. I'd love to discuss this with you. I really would. Assuming your medication has been adjusted, but I'd like to talk to you about that. Well, you know, Paul, there have been things through history. All right, yeah, there have been things through history. Where's the evidence of Saturday night? Oh, it's going to come out. Okay. But folks, help me out here, please. I need your help. Help restore my faith in humanity. Please. And I know I shouldn't be just judging humanity on social media. Maybe it's my fault. But we start out with this. Why do so many people apparently think Saturday night was staged? Now, maybe there's always this number of people out there, and I'm just seeing it because of social media. I don't know. And on the other side, too, hey, you know what? What amount? And they always talk about, well, the right wants another civil war. Really? And it's the left that keeps calling this guy Hitler and Pol Pot and everything. What responsibility do Trump critics have? And now the third, not the first, not the second, but the third attempt on his life. Third. Oh, we have to tone down the rhetoric. Yeah, well, maybe that should start with the people who apparently have Trump living in their head 24/7. We've had this gentleman on the show numerous times before. He's an assistant professor of practice at the University of New Haven's Department of Criminal Justice, bachelor's degree, master's degree, criminal justice, retired U.S. Secret Service agent. He also was on and had experience completing assignments for the vice presidential, the Dignitary Protection Divisions in D.C. He coordinated security for numerous foreign and domestic dignitary visits, as well as national special security events. Bobby McDonald is with us. Bobby, hi, it's Paul. How are you, sir? Great to have you again.
Hey, Paul. I knew you'd be reaching out on Saturday night, so great to talk to you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, let's get right to it, Bobby. I was about to go to bed, and I hear all this commotion on every news channel, and, you know, I see people are on the phones from the dinner there describing what happened, so we knew that it was serious right then. What were your thoughts, Bobby, with that? And explain to my listeners, are you or anybody you know or from what you were able to gather familiar with the layout here? Take us through this.
Yeah, I've been to that venue probably 15 times over my career. That is a very large ballroom that handles a lot of big conventions and meetings in D.C.
Yeah.
It's got the ability of space for people. It's got the ability for large food service and can serve all those people in a short period of time. The National Prayer Breakfast is there. That's where Reagan was shot 45 years ago. So that is a regular venue for the Secret Service in and around D.C. And it's a very interesting venue, again, because that event the other night, Paul, that we have every year, and this was the first time that Trump has gone since being president, is a who's who in D.C. It's actors. It's singers. It's politicians. It's cabinet secretaries. It's famous reporters down there in, from the news. Everybody who's anybody is there. You've got just a huge buzz around that event. And wow, look what happened. Like you said a moment ago, I heard you indicate you've turned on the TV and you saw reporters with cell phones to their ears, and you knew something was not right at that point.
Yeah. So, Bobby, in a situation like this, it looks like, if you've seen that grainy video, it looks like this alleged would-be assassin basically bull rushed through a magnetometer with a big head of speed. And then all of a sudden, the agents there, the interagency people there, they were like, what was that? In retrospect, obviously it may have. Were they caught off guard, Bobby, because that's just something they don't see there? Did you ever see or hear of an approach on that? And I understand that's not the same floor the ballroom is on, right?
Right. That's correct. The ballroom is subterranean. It is below the street level. So you have to basically go down a set of escalators, two sets of escalators, actually, to get down there.
Yeah.
I think that it's unfortunate that officer that you're talking, that agent that you're talking about, it appears as though he was taken by surprise, and that's not supposed to happen. We're supposed to be vigilant the entire time. But, you know, to his defense, when things slow down a little bit, you know, you probably ease up a little bit and everybody's in, and now we're going to be in the home stretch for the event. I think the Secret Service, as you heard me say with you a couple of years ago at Butler, is going to have to use this as another reset. It's going to have to be another opportunity to fix the problem. Hopefully that we don't allow this to happen again. We need to know why it happened. And the other thing I think we need to do is we need to follow up on the assailant's manifesto, where he indicates when he checked into the hotel, he was surprised that there wasn't more security. So I think we need to reach out and talk to him to get some viewpoint from him as to what he was expecting and what he didn't see, so that we can get better at this.
Bobby, what did you see from what was in the ballroom with all the video we have and the response there? And explain to my listeners, too, because I'm seeing this online, and I know that's a mistake when I read anything on the Internet and I say, don't do it, and I went ahead and do it. But people are saying, well, you know, why didn't they take Trump and Vance to the same direction and the other people there? And everybody seems to be going in different directions. Explain the protocol there. That's done for a reason, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the right response of the agents. You don't want the two details, and the president's detail and the vice president's detail, while they operate similarly and in the same fashion, mm-hmm. are two separate details. They have separate advance teams there. They have separate details around the individual. The reason they go off from a different side of the dais is so that the two details don't cross trying to get the president or the vice president into the holding room or back to the cars. That's done on purpose. The other thing I would note is that while any event like we saw the other night is not good, you saw a terrific response, as I said to you a couple of years ago, also in Butler, yeah. of the detail around the president. They enveloped both of those protectees, put the body bunker around them. I particularly note that one agent who hopped up on the dais, a tall young man who got himself big, and that's what we train, to spread yourself out and be prepared to put yourself between danger and the protectee. And then the heavy hitters, the counter-assault team came in and enveloped the president as well. There was a slight delay in moving the president, not right, wrong, or indifferent. They chose to hold on a second to maybe wait for some congestion behind the dais there to get him out. All in all, I'm not going to say it was a successful night. I'm going to say there was a lot of positives that went on, and the Secret Service needs to now do a hot wash and use this reset to continue to get better at what we do.
Bobby McDonald, retired Secret Service agent, is with us here from the University of New Haven. Yeah, Bobby, when they got Mr. Vance and Mr. Trump off the dais there and started clearing the dais, those one or two guys that hopped up there with the high-powered rifles, and then they start scanning the crowd. And I can imagine the tension that is felt by those men and women that do that. They've got a high-powered weapon there. They're looking for somebody that may be there, but they can't make a mistake, can they?
Yeah, we're trained and we're Monday morning quarterbacking now, knowing that there was only one assailant.
Yeah.
When that's going on and chaos is ensuing and bullets are flying, we don't know what's coming next. We don't know if this is a targeted attack towards a certain individual or group. Are there more people coming in from other areas? So the detail there at that point is on offense when we do our protective advance. Mm-hmm. But once that is complete, we then move to a defensive or a reactive measure to see what's coming. So the alertness has to be sky high. The precision on those movements, which are rehearsed, has to be sky high. And nothing goes according to script, as you heard me say before, when chaos is ensuing.
You talked about a holding room, Bobby. So there are predetermined areas, thinking if something like this happens and they don't move the president or the VP or the higher ranking people to SUVs or to the beast, or would there be a scenario where they would go straight there, or like you said, maybe go to the holding areas because there might be ne'er-do-wells between that and the vehicles? How does that work?
Exactly. Look, the decision is going to be made by the detail leader at the time of what they're going to do based upon what they know. If you think back to In the Line of Fire with Clint Eastwood, when the attack goes on in the ballroom, mm-hmm. they rush through the kitchen, knocking the chefs over, and they run to the cars, and they move away. That's one option that's available. That's why the drivers always stay with the cars in case something is going to go wrong. This might have been an opportunity if they didn't know what was potentially outside, or somebody saw something that they thought might have been something that it wasn't. We can go to these pre-designated holding rooms that are always at every venue, wherever they go. It's like a backstage dressing room type thing. They have secure communications there, which is set up by the White House Communications Agency. They can take a deep breath, reconfigure the detail, reconfigure the post-standers, and then move to the car when they're safe to get them back to the White House where we would want them to go for the rest of the evening. The bottom line here is the Secret Service would love the president to never leave the White House.
Yeah.
That's not America. That's not what our politicians do. They need to be out with the people, pressing the flesh and kissing babies. So again, we have to go out and do the very best we can do every day. The men and the women of the Secret Service are working hard We've had a few speed bumps, as we've talked about over the last couple of years, but they got to get out there and keep doing what they're doing. They've got to be perfect at 8 a.m. and get better by noontime every day.
Yeah, Bobby, final thing. You mentioned this earlier. They took their time with Mr. Trump. That's got to be interesting because presidents are various sizes. And here you are talking about a big guy, well over 6 feet, an almost 80-year-old guy who's not a small guy. And that I would imagine, and we saw that in Butler as well, you're not dealing with somebody who's 5'7 and 170 pounds here.
No, that's exactly right. And all of those things work into the mix. If you look at how quickly Vance was able to scoot off the stage, if you will, versus having to get the president. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a critique.
No.
He indicated in an interview yesterday, I believe, that he was giving them trouble. He wanted to stay and see what's going on.
Jeez.
So if he's pulling back and you're pulling the other way, you've got to start talking nice to him and say, sir, we got to get rolling here because we don't know what's going on. So, you know, it's very easy to sit here and love talking to you about this. We have the pleasure of the Monday morning quarterback.
Yeah.
They're going to hot wash this. They're going to take this as a positive reset, and they're going to continue to work hard and get better.
Bobby McDonald, UNH. Bobby, as always, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you down the road, sir. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure.
I appreciate it.